Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message. So, Father, we just ask, Lord, that you would, as we humble ourselves before you, O God, Father, I'm asking, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 5 through 11. 5 through 11. And I've entitled it, here we go, let's see. If you have your cell phones, put them on the silent position. And I've entitled this evening's message, Love from a Pure Heart. It could only come from a pure heart, amen? We need to learn how to love like Christ. Hallelujah. Because he had the agape love. He knew how to love us. While the Bible says he loved us while we were yet still what? Sinners. And so if you're there, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and let's start reading verses 5 through 11, and it reads, Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart. There it is. I took it right there. From a good conscience and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. Okay? Verse 8. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and the insubordinate, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. Wow. That's why the law came. Look at verse 10 and 11. For fornicators, for sodomites. You know, that word is not used often in church, but it's there, right? For sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers. And if there's any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, meaning sound teaching, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Wow. So this is Paul writing to Timothy, saying, Timothy, my son in the faith, be strong, be courageous, don't hold back. Preach the gospel in season, out of season. Can I get an amen? We are to be no different than what was instructed to Timothy, as the Word of God is instructing us today. And so let's break this down, and let's start with verse number 5. And it reads, Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. If you have faith in God, you will learn to love like Him. If you have faith in the Most High, you will learn to set your sights and your goals upon the Word of God. Paul, he expanded his instruction to Timothy by reminding him and everyone else, everyone around him who would read the letter, that the correction of the false teachers would do them not good, but harm. Why does it always talk about false teachers? Because back then, 2,000 years ago, there were wicked false teachers no differently than today. And we're reminded there's false teaching out there. Did you know there's people that don't believe in the rapture? They're what's called all millennials. That means it's all going to get better. Then Christ will come. That doesn't... The Word of God don't read that. No. It's going to be chaotic. It's going to be chaos before He comes. Why? Because he's going to get all the glory and all the praise. You see, my friends, the false teachers were motivated by mere curiosity and a desire to gain prestige amongst the intellectuals. So in contrast, saints of God, genuine Christian teachers are filled with love. You have to have compassion. If you don't have compassion for the body of Christ, if you don't have compassion on your family members, your friends, your co-workers, then guess what? You can't be called a Christian. Christian means Christ-like. And we are to walk like Christ. Amen? Listen, how many people have you invited to a Bible study, to church, and they say, hey, you know what? I'll see you Sunday or I'll see you Wednesday. But they never show up, right? And that's okay. You don't have to be mad at them. You don't have to be angry with them. But here's the thing. The only Christ they're going to see is you. The only Jesus they're ever going to see is you. So, the character of Christ should be living well in you. Can I get amen? And you shouldn't be angry at this. Hey, you know, it's okay. Hey, there's next Sunday. Come on. You're going to love church. God's going to change your life. Listen, the world has enough chaos already. We don't have to have chaos in the church. And there's chaos in the church. Can I get amen? Oh, come on. There's chaos in the church. Help us, Jesus. Man, I'm telling you. You know, the world. You ever seen this? The world's throwing rocks over the walls of the Christian faith, right? And then we pick them up and throw them at each other. Oh, help us, Jesus. Help us, God. Help us, God. Look what Jesus said. I love what Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 8. Look at this. God blesses those whose hearts are pure. In other words, blessed are the pure at heart. Are they? Is that for the kingdom of God? Is that what it goes on? I didn't write the rest of it, but what does it say? For they shall what? See God? My goodness. So saints of God, a pure heart is devoted to God and free from guilt and corruption. We must keep ourselves morally straight. I put some points up here so that we could glean off tonight. Number one, look at this right up here. Number one, God purifies us, but there is action we must take to keep morally fit. Daily application of God's word has a purifying effect on our heart and mind. It enables us to love freely. Listen, let me just say it like this. In order to stay away from sin, we must keep reading the Word of God. Because when we stop reading the Word of God, then guess what? We'll go into sin. Can I get amen? You see, the Word of God is what enables us. It instructs us. It corrects us. It purifies our heart, our mind, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Number two, look at this. In order to love properly, our conscience must be clear. First, it must be clean from unconfessed sin so that guilt doesn't hinder us. You see, from a pure heart. This is all about verse 5, that pure heart. There are some things that we must do so that God can operate fully in us. Just imagine if you had a whole bunch of anger and bitterness and hostility in your heart towards someone. How can you even hear from God? You're so caught up in that. Or someone cursed you out on the job. Or whatever the case may be. Other than Christ. The hope of glory. See, if he comes first, everything else is second. Third. But when things arise, we must put in perspective that God must be first. And we must have a clear conscience toward him. Why? Because that's when he speaks to us. Did you know that he speaks to us in our turmoil? It's easy for him to speak, you know, during peace time or, you know, my devotional time. But how about in the times of chaos? How about in the times of turmoil? How about when things in your family go haywire? Can you honestly say, I can hear from God? This is why we must keep a what? A pure heart. So that God, we can always hear from God, receive things from God. Look at number three. Our motives must be free from pride and personal gain. Then we can love openly. There should never be an agenda. If there's an agenda why you do things for God, God will expose it. It should come from a pure and heart of integrity. But if we're doing things so that we can get applause from men and women or a pat on the back, you missed the mark. You missed it. Because it should be about Jesus. Can I get amen? Look at verse 4 or point number 4. When we attempt to love others without sincere faith in Christ, our efforts to minister become hollow and self-serving. Sincere faith enables us to love genuinely. Genuinely. And so always remember that. There must be an attempt to love others, even when they are unlovable. How many people do you know in your life that they seem like unlovable? Man, I'm supposed to love that? Huh? Oh, come on. There's people in your life that will chew your head off and spit you out. But God said, love them. Ooh. How? Why? What did they deserve my love for? Well, did we deserve to be set free and to be forgiven by God? Well, we have to keep that in perspective, don't we? And so the commands and instructions in this letter to Timothy, it reveals Paul's desire to maintain the purest truth in all the church's teachings. Because he starts it out with the purity of heart. As a mother nourishes her child, saints, with pure foods, so Paul nourished the infant church with only pure teaching, the truth of God's word. He focused on the truth and the love of the gospel. This is what he wrote to the Corinthian church when he was there in that region. Look at this. He wrote this in 1 Corinthians 13:1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, he says, I am nothing. I am nothing. And so Paul's writing to Timothy, saying, first, have love and a pure heart. Look in verse 3 right here to Corinthians. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me what? Nothing. Nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Thank you, God. Look at this in verse 7. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Look what he says. Love never fails. Hey, before I finish that verse in verse 8, you ever got a sucker punch from someone? Huh? You ever got cold cocked? Did you know people will do that even in church? They'll cold cock you. How do you respond? You get in their grill and you want to knock them out? Or take the humble road and say, man, if I said something to offend you, forgive me. It's tough. The first thing you want to do is lash out and say, what's up? But if the Holy Spirit is living in you, man, it'll arrest your heart. The Holy Spirit is the only thing in this earth that can bridle your tongue. That'll bring you to a place where in the case of turmoil and chaos, He'll bring peace where there's a storm. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. But the love of God is forever. Can I get an amen? It's forever. And how long is forever? Forever. Thank you, God. So let's move on now to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. And it reads, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk. How many of you know of people that started on fire for God and now they're backslidden? I'm not going to blab out their name. It's not for me to do that, but I know who they are. I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes. On fire for God, and now they're drinking up a storm. They went back to the things that God delivered them from. All you can do at that point is pray. Say, God, they're a bunch of prodigals out there. Draw them back, oh God. Lord, let them get sick and tired and be sick and tired of that. Show them that it was better in the house of God. Just like the prodigal son. He said, man, I had it better in my father's house. I'd rather go back to my father's house than be a servant. I don't care about being a son. I just want to be a servant. The servants have better food than the trough of where pigs were eating. He was eating out of a trough that the pigs were eating. And that was an abomination to a Jew. Come on. Pigs were, it's still today, a filthy animal to a Jew. And just imagine what they were feeding them. They were feeding them, man, stuff that, man, stunk worse than going to the bathroom. And they were feeding that to them. And they were just tearing it up. And he had to lower himself and eat the same food they were eating. Oh! Help us. I saw a video in the Philippines. There's this heap of dump and trash. And there's kids in there looking for food. And eating things that have been spoiled for weeks. Just imagine the stench and the maggots and the flies. But that's their only food. Jesus. Jesus, help us. There's people around the world that have resorted to that. But also there are some that have strayed from God and they're left to that until God wakes them up again. They have to come to their own. Can I get amen? And that's why verse 6 says, for which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk. Wow. Paul wrote against those who wanted to be teachers of the law of Moses. Listen, let me just say this. As teachers of the Word of God, did you know that we're accountable doubly? Doubly accountable. This is why we have to be careful to be teachers of the Word of God. This is why, man, I'm telling you, we have to have our act right. Can I get an amen? God sees all things. And so these men taught strange, back then, philosophical theories and ideas loosely based on the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. But they were throwing in their own twist on it. Their own mysteries. They strayed from the Word of God so that they can get applaud from men and women. These men were either Gentiles who were impressed with Judaism or Jews who did not know how much but wanted to gain respect. And so Paul had to write to the church. And he wrote this to the Galatian church. Look what he said about this straying away, having idle talk. Look at this in Galatians 1 and 6. I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. There's some people that have been raised up with sound doctrine and have turned to idle talk. They have strayed. Now they're embracing a gospel of prosperity, a gospel that won't talk about sin, a gospel that won't talk about people that are in churches throughout our land that are still adulterers and fornicators and sodomites in the church. They won't. They just want to keep the basket coming. We won't talk about these things. Look at this. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. They want to pervert it. They want to tailor it to their own mindset, their own agenda. Look at this in verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let them be accursed. Wow. That's a heavy indictment, isn't it? As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what we have received, let him be accursed. Paul, he got revelation from God because he saw what was taking place. I found this one website. I was going to put it up here, but I said, no, I'm not going to give the devil any glory. But it was a Pentecostal black church in the South. And the pastor sitting like on a throne chair. And his male lover right next to him. They've embraced that lie. So it's not the house of God anymore. It's the synagogue of Satan that Revelation talks about. Oh, God, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us, God. This is the times that we live in. Look what I found in 2 Peter 2, 1 and 6. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. You think that thing's going to last that I just shared with you? God's going to cripple it and crumble it, because it's bringing a reproach to the name of Christ. They're saying things in the name of Christ. Help us, Jesus. Help us, God. And look at this. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way, the truth, will be blasphemed. Wow. Blasphemed. Look at this. Look at verse 3. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare... I need you to catch this. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah and one of the eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making an example to those who afterward would live what? Ungodly. My goodness. Then what about us? How are we to live today? Are we to bring honor and glory? This is why, if you're going to be a teacher of God's word, man, I'm telling you, if you fumble the ball, repent right away. Can I get amen? Don't let that sin fester. Don't let it go unconfessed. Turn to God right away. Ask for forgiveness, and He will restore you right away. Yes, we got an amen back there. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, God. So let's move on to verse 7 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. And it reads, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. And so, saints, the false teachers at Ephesus had constructed vast speculative systems. They conjured up many devices, and they argued about the minor details of their holy imaginary ideas. They made up things in their own mind to try to dupe the church. They wandered away from the gospel, the truth, and love, and slipped into meaningless genealogies and things that don't pertain to the Word of God. In fact, all they did was hurt the church. You know, there's people that come to church to hurt the church. Did you know that? You know that Satan has his agents come in churches? And all they're there is to what? Cause havoc and chaos. Oh, yes. They're agents of Satan that walk in. They'll say, praise the Lord to you. Planet. Witches and warlocks that pray against churches. And then they come creeping right in. My goodness. My goodness. Look at this. This is why James, I need you to catch this now. Those of you that are watching on Facebook and YouTube, that are desiring to be teachers and preachers, evangelists, pastors, take heed to this. Because I have to take heed to this. We all have to take heed to this. Even those of us who are just believers have to take heed to this. But look at James 3. Look at this. James 3, 1 through 3. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Stricter! For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Allow the Holy Spirit to bridle our tongue. Can I get amen? Did you know that our tongue is the most unruly thing in our body? It's not our heart, it's not our brain, it's not our feet or hands, it's our tongue. You know why? Because we can curse, we can bless someone in the morning and curse someone in the evening with the same tongue. Blessings and cursings come out of this tongue. We can be happy and joyful and be angry the next moment and chew someone's head off. And if you've never done that, keep living. Oh, that's, I never did that. Oh, keep living. You know, here's the key for those of you that truly wants to be students of the Word of God, who really want to teach God's Word, is be in God's Word to know the Word of God. Because look at this in Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of God, your God. You know what law means? That means the law of liberty. That means the Word of God. Because the law comes from the Word. And I will also forget your children. Wow. Wow. That's a serious matter, isn't it? We cannot forget the things that God has placed in us. Thank you, God. This is what I love about expository teaching line by line. Because you can't. You can't skip over scriptures. You can't jump rope or what did we used to do when we were kids? Hopscotch. Yeah, I can't step on that peg. Let me hopscotch over that. No, we can't. We gotta teach it like it's like line by line. Hallelujah. And churches don't want to teach like this no more. They don't. I want to tell you a fairy tale. Oh, yeah. You know, listen, I love testimonies. Don't get me wrong. And some people have powerful testimonies. But give me some meat now. What have you learned? All those years, what have you learned in the Word of God? That's why I'm excited. God's raising up some men to preach the Word. Can I get an amen? I'm looking forward to the 29th. Hallelujah. Brother Marty and Brother Louie are going to bring it. And we're going to all be here right there praying for them. God, use them. God, fill them. God, give them that study time with you. Let them rightly divide the Word. Thank you, God. So let's move on to verse 8 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. And it reads, but we know that the law is good if one uses it what? Lawfully. Lawfully. You see, saints, the false teachers, they wanted to become famous as teachers of God's law, but they misunderstood the law's purpose. You see, these Pharisees in the days during this time, they had pompous hats and long old robes, and they glistened and they shined, you know, and many of the common folks were little paupers. They were peasants. But these people, they had their noses up in the air and they walked like they were better than them. But Jesus called them out and said, You are filled with dead men's bones, whitewashed tombs, vipers of snakes. And then he told them, you are of your father the devil. Wow. Woo! Jesus. That's right. Yeah, oh yeah, but some people, oh, Jesus is love. He's all, no, you know what? He's a man's man. He said it like it was. It still is today. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. Jesus was not no wuss. He was powerful. He was the Word that became flesh and walked amongst us. Can I get amen? Amen. Woo, thank you, God. So the law was not meant to give believers a list of commands for every occasion, saints, but to show unbelievers their sin and bring them to a place of repentance before God. God's law is also important for all believers. That's right. And to use the law as God intended means understanding that God's law gives direction for holy living. I believe the next time the men's meet, we're going to go over the Ten Commandments, right? Yeah, Exodus 20, huh? I took a little snapshot of that to break this down. We're going to get there in a few moments. And we're going to expound on just on a few of those verses. But in Exodus 20, God the commandments, God shows his people the true function and beauty of his laws. Do you know that there's beauty in the law? There is beauty. Because you know what? Repentance is it's a wonderful word. Some people hate that word. No. It's a gateway to come to God. Repent means just turn from the way of the world and turn to God. And let God now be your Father. Turn to him. You know, repentance is a wonderful word. And it's part of the law. What was the first thing that John the Baptist said? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Then Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Then the apostles said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You got three witnesses there. Wow. And so the commandments, saints of God, were designed to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Look at in Galatians right up here. Galatians 3:24. Therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be what? Justified by faith. Thank God that the law sometimes had to give us a nalgada. Gave us a spanking, amen? But it was a good spanking. Hallelujah, woke us up. Thank you, God. So in these commandments, people could see the nature of God and His plan for how men and women should live. Why? Because Paul wrote in Romans 7:12, the law itself is holy. It's holy. And there is no sin in it. Can I get amen? And so let's go to verse 9 now of 1 Timothy chapter 1. And it reads, look at this. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for man slayers. There's not people that you know that are like this, right? Can I just be truthful with all of us? We were all at one time like these people right here. Because remember Paul said, and such were some of you? And what do we see today in the streets of Los Angeles? Insubordinate, lawless, profane. Listen, those rocks, just imagine if they would have struck a policeman's head. Yeah. And all the cars that they lit on fire. My goodness. Yeah, it's a peaceful protest. They want you to believe that. Can I say, is our eyes deceiving us? Brother G would said it best. They're talking loud and saying nothing. Talking loud and saying nothing, brother. And so the law exists not for people who do what is right, but for those who continue in their sin. And so I wrote down not all the commandments, but why God put those commandments. Number one, the disobedient who cannot be taught. They can't be taught. When you have a made-up mind to be disobedient, you can't be taught. Because your heart is darkened, it's black. It don't hear the things of God. How many of us were knuckleheads until God had to knock us off our beast? He had to knock me off my beast at the age of 30. Up until then, I was this, the rebellious who cannot be disciplined. Rebellious. They can't be disciplined. You ever try to discipline someone that's rebellious in their heart? It's like telling a five-year-old. I'm giving you an example. There's a five-year-old here that's running around, right? You say, hey, I need you to sit down now. So stay sitting down. So they sit down, but in their heart, they're standing up. Did you catch that? They can't be disciplined. They're still standing up in their heart. They're just fidgeting. Look at this. The ungodly who show no reverence for God. Was there any reverence in those streets? Who broke into those stores and looted everything in there? Was there any reverence to God on that? There was a guy that was busting up the cement curb. and filling up bags so they could throw at cops. Did you catch that? They're busting up with a sledgehammer. And President Trump said, there was a, he goes, this is lawlessness. And the left wants us to believe that it's okay. They're peacefully what? Protesting. My goodness. What do you think the most of this nation is looking at right now? They're looking at California as like, these leaders over here have lost their mind. Lost their mind. The commandments were what? The sinful, who consider nothing sacred and defile what's holy. Are we still in what's called Pride Month? Has it become Pride Year? Yolanda and I, we were, remember, not too long ago, we were driving through Hillcrest, and there was a giant flag that probably draped half of this block, flying in the air. Yeah, in Hillcrest. A gigantic homosexual flag, flaunting it before God. Huge. It would cover at least 3-4 houses if you were to lay it on the houses. Who consider nothing sacred and defile what is holy. Listen, God made a man and a woman to enjoy each other through the confines of marriage. Can I get amen? There's no wiggle room after that. But you can't teach these folks. This is why the law had to come. And then the second set, that was the first four. The second set violates the next six commandments in Exodus 12. Look at this. Number one, those who murder their father or mother, the ultimate act of dishonoring one's parents. Is this what, remember the Melendez brothers? Oh, yeah. Menendez. Yeah. Kill their mom and dad. Who brought them into this world. Help us, God. Look at this. Those who murder other people, breaking the command not to murder. You know, thou shalt not murder. And yet, every day, someone is murdering somebody. You know that there are at least 5 murders or more in the United States a day. And it don't even catch the TV no more. You know why? Because no, it's no more shock. No, I remember back in the day when we were kids, I was like maybe 7 years old in the late 60s, early 70s. If you heard of something horrendous like that, people would cry. My mom and dad cried. When President Kennedy got shot, everybody was crying. There's no one like that no more. Yes. Their hearts are calloused. Because they see it every day. Every day and every day. Look at this. Those who are sexually immoral or homosexual, dealing with adultery and all sexual sins. Everywhere you go, it's all about sex. Our billboards, our commercials, internet. This is where Satan became a mastermind in this. When we were kids, I grew up in National City. And I remember on Friday nights, once a month, when my dad got paid, he got paid once a month. He would take us either to get hamburgers that were 10 for a dollar. Mm-hmm. Right there off of Highland. Or we would go to Mario's Pizza on 8th and National. And that, remember that Mario's Pizza was right there on the corner. But right across There was the Paris Theater. Yeah, the Paris P starts with the P, and then it ended with the cat theater. And I remember we were parked outside, and we would see the military guys walked right in there. And so Satan got wise. He goes, I'm just not going to have it in these isolated venues. I'm going to put all that junk on their phones. Now no one knows if someone goes into a place like that, but God. But God. Can I say that? Say that with me. But God. God knows. Can I get an amen? Amen. This is where we have to have the fear of the Lord. Where's the fear of the Lord? This is for me and for you. Can I get an amen? This is for all of us. Ain't nobody immune to this. Help us, God. Help us, God. And then you were praying about this. Slave traders, also translated kidnappers, picturing the worst form of theft. The number one crime in San Diego, according to my brother, it's not drugs, it's not arms, it's not the border, it's sex trafficking. These rich politicians got money, and they'll pay. With all these billions of dollars they're making in Simi Valley, all these high-tech jobs that give them billions of dollars a year, they have so much money, their whole heart is filled with sin. They can't even give the money to the work of the ministry. And so they indulge in all these ungodly things because they have too much. This is why God doesn't give that to the church. He wants you to pray for the things that we need, not what we desire and want. Can I get amen? Amen. These people have so much that they just indulge themselves in that way. Wow. Look at this. Liars and oath breakers, those who violate the commandment not to bear false witness. Those of you young married couples, keep your oath to one another. Can I get an amen? Amen. Don't go. You guys just went through I do. Don't go 10 years later and says I don't. Can I get an amen? Amen. Let me just say this. I'm going to say it. If God just told me to say it. There should never be divorce in the church. Did Jesus divorce you? When you sinned? I'm going to put myself back on camera here. Did Jesus divorce you when you sinned? But we're so easy to put away people. We're so easy to give them a certificate of divorce. But Jesus said, not so. The only reason why Moses gave a certificate of divorce is because of the hardness of their heart. Some people will put you away because you burnt their toast. People they don't know how to die for one another. In other words, die to self. And here's the order. It's God, it's the man, it's the woman, and then it's the child. And if anything is out other than that, it's out of order. It's out of order. That's why, wives, pray for your husbands. Come alongside him and pray that he will follow Christ. And you guys both follow him together. Can I get amen? Amen? And let God be the head. And he will bless your life. He will show you great and mighty things. Let's go back to here, to my outline here. Look at this. Number six, those who do anything else that contradicts the right teaching. It covers anything that might be missed. Saints, we live in a time of great wickedness. Can I get an amen? And so we need to be about what? Our Father's business. So let's move on now to verse 10 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. And then he goes on with this. Remember, let's go back to 9. In 9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless, insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy, profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. So that's why I took you to the law in Exodus. But look what he goes on in verse 10 of 1 Timothy. For fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there's any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Paul had been entrusted with this good news, saints. And how many are so blessed to know that God chose him to write these letters so that you and I will have a chance in the generation that we live? If it wasn't for Paul's writing, man, I'm telling you, we need this kind of teaching from him. Because God showed him revelation of the heart of man. You see, man could never talk against his own self. God had to show him how wicked our heart was. God revealed to Paul how wicked our heart is. And so we need to be taught that our flesh is weak, but the spirit is strong. Hallelujah. Look at this. In Acts 9:15, Paul was chosen by God himself to carry out the perfect will of God, to bring the teaching that we're hearing tonight. Look at Acts 9:15 right up here. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a what? Chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him what? How many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Why do you think they wanted to throw rocks at him? Why do you think he was robbed and he was beat up and left to die? Because he preached the truth and people didn't want to hear it. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Saints, when's the last time you had to tell someone truth? That they needed to repent. That if you remain in this sin, you will perish. God is speaking to all of us tonight. We can't coddle them anymore. We got to tell them in truth and love, listen, I love you. Some of us are parents to them. Some of us are aunts and uncles to them. Some of them are just friends to us. But there are people that we know, whether they once walked with God or they never knew God. But they need to hear the truth that Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. Can I get amen? Look at this. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for what? My name's sake. Look at verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. Why did Paul get filled with the Holy Spirit? To teach us what we're reading tonight. Can I get amen? 2,000 years later, the Holy Spirit is still alive and well. Can I get amen? And we're reading 2,000 years ago what was written for us. It was written for them, and it was written for us. Look at this in verse 18. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Paul spent some days with his disciples at Damascus. Praise God. Praise God. And then Paul wrote this to the Thessalonian church. Look at this. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but who test our hearts. Did you catch that? We're not to please men. Paul did. This is why he got beat up. This is why he got rocks thrown at him. This is why he got chased out of every town. He wasn't there to please them. Can I get amen? He wasn't in there like Tiny Tim. Tipping through the tulips. That's right. Oh, some of you don't know who he is. Tipping through the tulips. Look at this. In Titus 1:3. But has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. The word of God was entrusted to Paul to preach the word. And guess what? Tag, you're it. Turn to your neighbor and say, tag, you're it. Now it's your turn. Now it's our turn. It's our turn now, right? Amen? It's our turn to preach now. Paul did a great job. He passed the baton to us. Now we got to preach. We got to teach. We got to raise up. We got to sow into the hearts of men and women. We got to tell truth when sometimes they've been lied to all their life. And come with the truth. And tell them all the truth. You know why? Because we don't want their blood on our hands. Can I get an amen? You see, saints, all who hear, believe, and accept this right teaching have also been entrusted with it. We've been entrusted with this word. Praise God. And now, we're going to look at our last verse, and then we close. And verse 11 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. So saints, in short, the law is meant to reveal our sin, but using it as guidelines for our response to God leaves us no better off than the false teachers. The law has a descriptive, not a prescriptive role. It brings us face to face with our problem, but does not tell us how to solve it. Only the Holy Spirit can show us. Can I get amen? The good news, it challenges you and I to respond to faith through Christ, who through God, through Jesus, will forgive us of our sins, which he did for most of us in here. Can I get amen? And for, hopefully for those who are listening and watching. Paul wrote this to Romans 2:16. Look at this. On the day when God will judge men's secrets through Christ Jesus, as proclaimed by my gospel, our secrets. God's going to one day reveal the secret sins. This is why I confess it all to him now. I'd rather confess them all now than have them shouted from the rooftop. Can I get an amen? Amen. Jesus, help us. Help us, God. But the reason why still people don't believe, no matter what you say to them, is because of this scripture right up here. Look at this. In 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God, notice little g, it's not big G. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The devil has blinded them. They can't see what you and I see until God removes the scales. Pray that God will give them a mind to be saved and a heart to repent. Paul wrote this to Galatians in 1:11. Look at this. For I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preach was not devised by man. What? You catch that? This wasn't constructed by man. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by the revelation from Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All that we're teaching tonight was revealed by the Holy Spirit through Christ Jesus. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. This was not devised by man. Every word, every jot, and every tittle that we proclaim tonight came from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I close with this last scripture, Romans 16:25. Now to him, say that with me, now to him who is able to strengthen you by my gospel and by the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery concealed for ages past. Wow. Wow. This was a mystery to you and I until this generation. God chose to unveil the mysteries to us. Come on. We all grew up religious. None of us knew Christ. Can I get amen? None of us. Until he quickened us. He made us come alive. And now we see him. We know him. We live for him. Hallelujah. Because he died for us. And he's coming back again. How many believe he's coming back again? You may be watching right now on Facebook and YouTube. And maybe, just maybe, you've heard this message maybe for the first time. Maybe you logged in and were searching the website. And you came across us and the power of the Holy Spirit kept you hearing. And maybe, just maybe, it's your time now to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here right now to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would receive the Holy Spirit to live for Jesus, to serve the Lord Jesus, to serve each other through love by the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of you need the love of God in your life. Some of you have been bitter for many things that have happened in your life. I'm here to let you know that God wants to lift that burden. God wants to give you peace that surpasses all understanding. God wants to reveal who he is. He's the God that loves you. He's not angry and mad at you. He wants to give you a hope and a future. If that's you, bow your heart and your head and pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise in the house. Come on, is he worthy? Come on, is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.